Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Ayin Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@email.com. Today's shiur begins at the beginning of the new perek, the eighth perek, perek hazorik. Before we begin the actual mishnah, we glance in the margin at one of our special Shas Ozer marked Gemara features, the nosei, the topic heading. We've written on the side efshorios, possibilities leisha lehisgarish benoisaf lenesinas get liodamamish. In a ways for a woman to become divorced in addition to the obvious or the standard approach of putting the get directly into her hands. Kagon besoch besa o chatzera v'oid. For example, putting a get into her house or into her courtyard. And other examples. Hagemora tovi es hamakuros lekach lipsukim. The Gemara will be involved with presenting sources for this, for these additional possibilities from Psukim. The Mishnah. Hazurik get liishto vihi besoich beisa oi besoich chatzera hare zu migureshes. One who throws a get to his wife and she's standing in her house or in her courtyard, she is thereby divorced. This idea of her house, Rashi points out, it would be a case where a woman brought into the marriage some real estate. She brought a house into her into the marriage, so it's her house. She owns the principal of the house. It's true that while they're married, the husband has the peros. Any profits that are realized from that real estate belong to him, but the principal, the house itself, belongs to her. So throwing it into her house or into her courtyard is, in effect, putting the get from giving the get from him, from the husband, to her. That's an essential element of the divorce, is that the husband passes the get out of his domain into her domain. Zorkula, get is thrown to her, besoch beso, besoch hatzero, into his house or into his courtyard. Afilu hu ima pemita, even if they're together in the same bed, eino migureshes. That doesn't constitute a divorce. She's not divorced. As we just indicated, the husband did not pass the get out of his domain. Lesoch cheka o lesoch kalsa, hare zu migureshes. If he threw the get into her lap, cheka, her lap, or into her kalsa. Kalsa is a basket that women would use for holding their needles and different other kinds of sewing implements, sewing gear. So if he threw the get into her kalsa, into her basket, she would be divorced. The Gemara, as we already indicated, gives us the sources for this. On the side of the Gemara, we note a nosei, a topic heading. It reads as follows, beget ubegineva, in with regard to divorce, and theft. Lamrot she the kosuv biyado or biyado, even though in the psukim you see the words in her hand, like the pasuk says, v'nosan lo sefer krisus, v'kosav lo sefer krisus, v'nosan biyado. That's a pasuk in Dvarim Perek Chav Dalet pasuk aleph. You put it in her hand. You write a sefer krisus is the Torah way of referring to the divorce document, and you put it in her hand. Or in the case of theft, it says imi motzei timotzei biyado hagineva. If the theft is found in his hand, so a thief physically took something and is holding it in his hand. So that's obviously theft. So the Gemara points out that with regard to these topics of get and geneva, even though the pasuk uses the words biyado or biyado, ein ze davka. It's not to be taken literal or in limited to that. Elo afilu Gago, Chatzera, Vekarpifa, even in the case of a get on her, if she owned a rooftop or her courtyard or it's a carpif is an enclosed area, those constitute being in their domain. And likewise with regard to theft, if let us say someone's animal walked into your house and you locked the door with the animal inside your house, now it's not in your hands, you didn't even take the animal by force, but you are keeping the animal locked in your domain, that is also considered theft. Hagemara tazbir lama yesh tzerich l'teira l'faresh haribui b'shneim. Why does the Torah have to spell out this idea of inclusive examples that stem from yada and yado in both cases, both the case of theft and the case of divorce? The Gemara, mino hani mili detonu rabbanon. What is the source for that which the Mishnah saw taught that throwing a get even into her house or into her courtyard is an effective way of divorcing her? In other words, the idea of her domain is the same as putting it in her hand. So the Gemara continues with a Tanaic source, quoting the Pasuk V'nosan V'yada Perik in Dvorim Perik of Daled Pasuk Aleph. It says, and he places it in her hands, the get. Ein li'ala yada. Well, from that I would say, it only works, the divorce works only if he puts it in her hand. Gago chatzer v'karpifo minayin, putting the get in her roof. She owns a piece of property, or she owns the roof of a building, or she has a courtyard, or she has a karpif, an enclosed area, that a fenced off area that belongs to her. Minayin, how do you know that that also constitutes a way of divorcing her, i.e. placing the get in one of these areas? Talmud lomar v'nosan mikomokom. Rashi explains, how do you see from the word vinosan? Vinosan mikomoko means in any way. So Rashi, let's read the Rashi together at the beginning of the Gemara commentary. Talmud lomar vinosan mikomoko v'darshina le ba'anpe nafshe. It's the word vinosan is viewed, is explained as a separate drosha, separate entity. Midaloksi, from the fact that the Pasuk does not say ubiyada yitnenu, and in her hands you shall place it. Mash Malon, the Torah that does say, it says, Vinosan biyada. It implies that Nesina kol dehu, any form of placing. Viyada, the Gosar Rachmana, the Bo'ino, Dumya, the Yada. And if Vinosan is inclusive, so why does the Torah use the word Yada? Because Yada serves as the, we'll say, the archetype of how the other domains are to operate. What do we mean by that? Dumya diyada de mishtameres ledaito unfortunately mami the kame, that you're putting it in an area like her hand, it's under her supervision. So too, areas that are owned by her, they must be areas that are, we'll say, under her supervision. They're guarded areas, as the Gemara will explain. I can say, to the exclusion, for example, if let's say the woman owned a piece of open property, an open field, and the husband put the get in her open field, an unfenced open area, though it belongs to her, that would not be a situation that's similar to yada. It's not, we'll call it, a supervised watched area. We continue in the Gemara, V'tanya nami hachi gabi ganav. We have a similar Tanaic source with regard to theft. Yodo, the Pasuk says, as we explained earlier in Shmos Perichov Beis Pasuk Gimel, im himotsei timotsei biyodoi hageneva. The thief has a stolen item in his hand. Ein li'ali yodo. From the word yodo, I would understand only if it's stolen and found in his hand. Gago chatzeru v'karpifo minayin. How about to include someone else's item that is found in your roof, or on your roof, in your courtyard, in your karpif, in an enclosed area that belongs to you, that you've closed the gate of the fenced area while someone else's item is in your domain. How do you know that's also considered theft? Talmud lomar, himotsei, timotsei. mikol makom. It's found in your domain, however it's in your domain. Utsricha. And I need to teach this idea of, we'll say, expanded domains with regard to get and with regard to theft. Get. Had the Torah revealed this idea to us in the case of a divorce, mishum debal korcha migrusha. We know that a woman can be divorced even against her will. So, since it's an area where her decision, her mindset, her approval is not a binding factor, so I understand even if you put the get in her courtyard, in her house, it will be an effective means of divorcing her. So that, just like we don't need her approval, we can also put it in areas that are not her hand. We continue in the Gemara, Avol, Ganov, the Lese Baal Korche, but with regard to with theft, if someone, let us say, against your will, puts someone's item into your house, you don't want his item in your house. Amolo, I would say that since theft does not operate in Baal Korchoi fashion, theft doesn't take place against your will. A thief has to have the intention of thievery in order to be considered a ganav, in order to be considered a thief. So since Geneva doesn't have this element of Baal Korcho, I might have thought that we're not going to expand the areas in which theft is considered a crime, but rather only if it's in his hands. Rashi, Amo, Rashi says, Amo midaite nami, I would think that even with his own awareness, lo tikni lechatzero, his chotzer wouldn't acquire for him as an act of theft, meaning if someone else's animal wandered into your courtyard and you locked the gate without having drawn the animal by your hand, that wouldn't be considered theft. Im lo moshach, if you didn't draw it, kagon, nichnesu lechatzer v'noal b'fanel. Like the case of an animal wandering into your courtyard and you locking the gate on it. So without the Torah telling me about the expanded idea of domain with regard to thievery, I would have thought he wouldn't be guilty, even if he knowingly locked the door on the neighbor's animal. V'yashmin and ganav, and had we taught this idea of expanded territory through which thievery could be accomplished, mishum dekansi rachmona, here dealing with a sinful act, the Torah imposes a fine on the individual. In other words, not just his hand, not just if he draws the stolen item, but even if it wanders into your domain and you knowingly lock the gate on it, you are guilty. Avoget, the divorce isn't a function of some type of sinful act. Hamalo, I would have thought that placing the get in her domain is not sufficient. Tzricha, therefore, it's necessary to teach, in addition to ganav, the case of get, that hand is not limited to hand. In other words, the pasuk's use of the word yada is not limited to her hand, but even her properties. Before we continue, we have a new topic on the side. The nosei reads, Eich beget shenizrak lechatzeri mizgareshes. How can it be that in the case of a divorce document that's thrown into her courtyard, she would be considered divorced? Don't we have a rule, ima shekonsa isha kona baila, if that which is owned by the woman is said to be also owned by her husband? Hare haget lo yotza mirshuso, with this in mind, then the get didn't leave his domain. We mentioned already from the beginning of today's shir that the principle behind the get, the divorce, is that the divorce document is given to her in such a way that it leaves his domain. But placing it into her courtyard, when we know that a woman that enters a marriage with property, even though the principal might belong to her, the husband has fruit rights, usufruct, or called kinyan peros. And since he has a kinyan peros on it, he is considered the owner of it. So how does it help by taking a get and putting it in her chatzer? The Gemara. Chatzerah. Masha konsa isha kona baila. That which the woman acquires, the husband is said to acquire. And as we said, the placing of the get by the husband in her courtyard represents the get remaining in his domain, because the husband has the right to benefit from the profits realized from her courtyard. If they decide to rent out the courtyard and money is profited by that, he keeps the money. We have a diamond marking, and on the side under the mivneh, the structural note, we indicate tshuvos l'sheila. Now these diamonds introduce the answers to this particular question. How does placing a get in her courtyard help? So just scan the Gemara ahead of time. You see Reb Elazar represents answer number one, and on Omid Beis, four lines from the top, you see Rava giving a different approach. So we now turn to the Gemara. Omer Reb Elazar, the Koisev law, Dinu dvorim ein li b'nechosayach. The husband writes that I have dinu dvorim, means I have nothing to do with your properties. And as I'm removed from your properties, so the chatzera is hers. So with that, we would be able to understand that the husband placing the get in the courtyard where he had previously said dinu dvorim, I have nothing to do with your properties, so placing it in the chotzer is in her domain, exclusively her domain, and we've accomplished a proper divorce. The Gemara asks, is that really effective? And if he wrote that to her, so what? Look at what it says in this source. We should point out, we're talking about a partner. One says to his friend, you know, his other partner, regarding my holding in this partnership. Dinu dvorim ein li al sodezu. V'ainli esek ba, v'yodai misulekes, v'yodi misulekes emena. These are different expressions, but they all connote the same idea. I am removed from it. And the ruling is, lo omar klum. He has said nothing. It's ineffective. So you don't remove yourself by using the expression, dinu dvorim ainli. The Gemara answers. What we've done with our Gemara markings, some might have a different approach, but we're using a long marking till we get to Rava on Amud Beis, because all of the following information is used to develop and give an explanation, a basis for what we're going to see. So it's all part of the same trend of thought, and hence we're calling it a long answer. Amri debei Rabbi Yanai. Bekosev la v'oida arusa. He writes to her dinu dvorim, not when he's already become, let's say, a partner with her in her property, but when they haven't yet consummated the marriage. He writes dinu dvorim ainli b'nechosayech while she's still an arusa. Arusa means it's the first stage of marriage, but he hasn't gained rights to the property in that initial stage. The consummation of the marriage is represented by what we call nisuin. That's where the couple enters the chuppah, the marriage canopy, which in the time of the Gemara might have been up to a year after the initial act of marriage took place. So he writes this disclaimer, this removal claim. Dinu dvorim, while they have not yet consummated their marriage, she's still an arusa. Uchde Rav Kana, and based on Rav Kana's teaching, Diom Rav Kana, Nachlo habo lo laodo mimokom achir. The point that Rav Kana is about to make is that a person can dismiss himself, can remove himself from rights that he ordinarily would be entitled to. And he can remove himself even through this type of statement of dinu dvorim, as we see in the Gemara. What does Rav Kana say? Reading it again, nachlo habo lo liodo mamokom acher. The word nachlo literally means an inheritance, but we're going to refer to properties that are entitled, properties or monies that are entitled to an individual that are not actually Torah-based, it's not a Torah-based inheritance. There are other cases that a person is entitled to properties that are not, we'll say, not strictly the formal act of inheriting from one's benefactor, from one's father, etc. So cases like that, we'll say property entitlements that come to a person, Adam masne oleo shelo yiroshena. A person can state a condition that he should not acquire it. Rashi emphasizes, Kodim Shizocha, before it entered your domain, you can stipulate that you don't want to acquire those entitlements. Uchid Rava, and like Rava says, Yoma Rava, Ha'oimer, on the we're continuing at the top of Omid Beis, a woman who says Efshi, or I should say a person who says Efshi betakonas chachomim kegoin zu shoymin lo, a person who declares I don't want the takonas chachomim, which is designed, the we'll say the rabbinic ruling that's designed to be of benefit to me, I don't want it, kegoin zu, like this case, when we haven't explained what that's a reference to yet, Shoymin, we listen to him. My Kagonzu, what is the case that Rava was referring to? Rava made a general statement, and he paralleled this general statement to a particular case. He said that a person who declares, I don't want a Takanas Chachamim to work for my benefit, like this case, well, we listen to him. Well, what's the this case? What's the specific case he was referring to? The Gemara answers, Kid Rav Huna Amarav, like Rav Huna Amarav teaches. The Amarav Huna Amarav, Yechoylo Isha, Shetoymer Labailo, a woman can say to her husband, Eini Nizoinis V'eini Oisa, I am forfeiting the rights that I have to for you to support me. I'm forfeiting the receipt of mizonos that you're otherwise obligated to provide me. Mizonos is the food, the maintenance, the support of a woman, of a married woman. The wife says, I am forfeiting that in exchange for my being able to retain my own work profits. There's a basic expectation that a man provides support for his wife. The rabbis enacted that in exchange for the man supporting his wife, the woman provides the husband with her income. Oftentimes, the woman's income wouldn't be in and of itself enough for her to live on. So it's to her benefit in general to have the husband obligated to support her. There are cases where women are quite productive with regard to income. They have high salaries. They make a lot of money through whatever commercial endeavors they invest in. They don't need the husband's support. In fact, they can do very well by keeping their own money, and they can declare thusly. They say, we're keeping our own income, and we're doing such by forfeiting, by giving up on your obligation to support us. So you keep your food money, and we'll keep our salaries. A woman can do that. And with all of this in mind, we go back to the point being made here that just like in that case, there's a takona for the benefit of the woman that she's allowed to pass up on. So too, a man, before he consummates his marriage, he can declare, I'm passing up on my rights to access to benefits from properties that you're bringing into the marriage. With all of that, we're able to explain how it is that a woman has a chotzer that's considered exclusively her domain, because the husband had removed himself from acquiring the rights to her chotzer. Rava Omar. Rava, in this approach, he says that you don't need to have the man declaring din udvorim ein li ben chosayach. Even without that, we'll be able to understand the effectiveness of placing a get in her chotzer. Again, we're talking about a case of a woman bringing a chotzer courtyard into the marriage, property that her family gave her in anticipation of her marriage. She gets married, bringing this into the marriage. And nevertheless, even without the husband removing himself from it, placing the get in that property will be effective. We now explain in the Gemara. Rava Omar. Atu yada milo kanyo le labal. The Torah itself speaks about putting the get into her hands. Is it not so that the husband has rights to her hands, meaning her work production? So her yad is something that the husband has, we'll say, ownership over, in the sense we just described. And yet, placing the get in her hand is considered placing it out of your domain. Ah, but we said a second ago the husband has rights to her hand, to her work production. So how does placing it in her hand work? Elagita viyada boyin keechad. Her total acquisition of her hand comes simultaneously with her receipt of the get. So that when putting the get in her hand, she simultaneously is gaining full control of her hand. Husband is no longer entitled to any of her work production. She's being divorced right now. But it works simultaneously. So Hochanami, so too with regard to the property. It's true that up till the divorce, the husband had benefits from her property. But when he places the get in her property with the purposes of divorcing her, we say, Gito v'chatzeira boyin kechon. Her acquisition of the get and her full acquisition of her properties takes place simultaneously. So Rava's principle is based on yoda. We want to emphasize that. As we go on in the Gemara, Ravina raises a question on this analogy. He presents this question to Rav Ashi, and a couple lines later, Rav Ashi responds. What we've done was we've highlighted Rava's name with a crown marking, and on the side under our Mivne heading, we've indicated that Rava is highlighted. These are Shlavim, stages, Lahavin, Ma Bosis Shel Divrei Rava Degita V'yoda Boyin Kechon. What is really the basis for that analysis? So we continue in the Gemara. Amar le Ravina le Ravashi. Rava yad de isha kokashyale. Rava, in his analysis, had difficulty understanding how does, from the Torah standpoint, placing the get in her hand effectively divorce her. And he came up with the idea that, well, it's the divorce and her acquisition of hand happens simultaneously, and then with that, I will conclude regarding her chotzer. Ravina asks, though, Nehi dekoni le lemaisi yodea. Granted, the husband has rights to her hands, but that's only with regard to profits. Yada gufa mi konile. Does he own her actual hand? He doesn't own her actual hand. So I see in the case of putting the get in her hand, that's an effective divorce. Doesn't own her actual hand. However, when it comes to the chotzer, and here we're going to rely on the Tosfos' explanation, since the husband has rights to the peros of the chotzer, there's a concept you find in Gittin Daf Mem Zayin and in other places as well. When I say Gittin Daf Mem Zayin, means earlier in this Masechta, that Kinyan Peros Kikinyan Aguf Domi, that when you have rights to profits from property, I'm not talking about income. One's wife is not his property. It's a human being, and she works. But that's not the same as peros from property. Fruit gained from one property. If one has the rights to the fruits, to the income from property, that's considered as if he owns the actual entity, the actual chotzer. So it's placing the get in her hands, that I can see is effective because he doesn't own her hand. Placing the get in her chotzer, it's his chotzer because he has the rights to the peros, as Tosus explains. So I still don't understand, says Ravina, how does placing the get in her chotzer enable her to be divorced? It hasn't left his domain. Omar Lay, Ravashi answers, Rava, in coming to the conclusion that Gita v'chatzera boin gechad, doesn't learn from the yad of an isha. Rather, he learns from yad ha'eved, kokashile, lamanda Omar b'shtara yaday atzmo. An eved is a slave. An eved kenani is a person can own the slave. That's literally his property. There's the concept of shikur eved, of sending an eved free. Freeing the eved can be accomplished by giving him what's called a get shikur. It's a freedom document. Similar to the idea of a get isha, this is called a get shikur. Shikur means freedom. It's a freedom document. There is an opinion that was just alluded to in the Gemara that you can hand the freedom document to the slave himself. But now think about this for a second. The slave himself, that's your property. The concept of a get shikur is actually derived from the laws of get isha. And just like we said, by get isha, the divorce takes place when the document leaves the domain of the husband slash owner. In this case, with the slave, we say owner. How does placing the get shichur, the freedom document, in the hands of the slave effectively send him free? As the Gemara goes on to say, Yad Eved Kiyad Raboy Danya. Is it not so that the hand of the Eved is like the hand of the master himself? Imagine that master taking a get shichur from his right hand and putting it in his left hand. That's not going to free the slave. So how does putting the get shichur, the freedom document, in the slave's hand work? Hello? Gito v'yodo boyen kechod. The explanation is that it works simultaneously. As the get shichur, as the freedom document, reaches the slave's hands, he is thereby free, acquiring himself. He becomes his own boss, his own owner. Hachanami, so too with the case of the woman, Gita v'chatzera boyin ke'echad, placing the get of the woman in her property enables her to be divorced. She gains complete ownership of the property that up till now was just like the eved, owned by the husband, but placing the get in her chotzer enables her to acquire full ownership of the chotzer simultaneously with her being divorced. So it's an acceptable, it's a legitimate way of divorcing the woman, following the principle that we mentioned before, that the get has to leave the husband's domain, entering her domain, in order for it to be an efficient or an effective divorce. We now have a maisa. It's a long story. We have a long marking. Hahu shchivmira dekosav logita ledvisu. It was a person in the throes of death, deathly ill, that wrote a divorce document for his wife. Bahadi panya demali shabbato, and he wrote it up on Friday. We're talking now about a time of day very close to Shabbos. Velo he speak lemeisve law, and he didn't have a chance to actually give it to her. So you have this deathly ill individual with a get that's located somewhere, and one thing is for sure, he didn't give it to her yet. Lamochar, the next day, was on Shabbos day, Tokaf Le Alma. He became extremely ill, in other words, moments away from death. And there was a fear that he might actually die before divorcing her. and she'll end up becoming a widow and be bound to the Yibum marriage. Yibum marriage is a case where the man dies leaving no children. She'll have to marry his brother, and there are many cases where that would that was undesirable. They weren't a good pair or whatever. And there was an attempt to enable her to become a divorcee and not enter widow status. So we have, it's Shabbos day, and it's prohibited to move a get, to mekatel the get on Shabbos. What can possibly be done to enable her to become divorced? There's a Rashi that we'll look at together, just a couple lines down from here. Tokaf le'alma v'hoya yore pen yomus v'tizkak li'yavam. We're afraid that he might die and she'll become bound to the yavam. V'osu le'tato get b'shabas l'mosrelo. And it's forbidden to move around, to physically pick up a get and hand it to her on Shabbos. So now, osu, the Gemara continues, osu le'kamei de Rava. They now came to Rava. We underline Rava's name. We're trying to draw your attention to that name. We had Rava earlier on the Omid, in the diamond above. So the case came to Rava. Omar Lahu, Zilu Imru Lei, go tell him, the Shivmira, the person, he's deathly ill, Likne Nihalo Lahu Duchta, the Yosiv Bei Gita, that he should transfer, he should makne, he should give over ownership of the place on which the get is sitting. The get might be sitting on a chair in his bedroom. So the place that the get is located, that it's on a chair that's sitting on a floor, so the spot around the chair with the get on it, he should makne to the woman. He should say that spot is now yours. V'tezel ihi, and then she will go. V'techud v'tiftach v'tachzik bay, she'll go and then close the door, and open the door, and thereby tachzik bay means, and thereby that's an act of ownership. Disnan noal goder poratz kolshu, if a person locks up a fenced area, or fences in an area, or breaks, creates a breach in an area, any amount, any size, that is an act of ownership. Harezu Chazoga, there, she thereby acquires it. So what we just described is a method for the woman to acquire the get on Shabbos, as we just described, without the need for his actually handing her the get, which would have been prohibited. Omar le Rav Ilish le Rava. Rav Ilish asks Rava, Masha konsa isha kona baila. How does his transferring the domain to her help? It hasn't. He'll still have rights to whatever income could be realized from that property, and the get hasn't thereby left his rishus, hasn't left his domain. So how does your Eitza, Rav Ilish asks Rava, how does your Eitza, how does your advice help? How does it make the get effective? Ichsif, Rava became embarrassed. Wow, that's a good point. Lesof igli milsa da arusa havoi. It then became known that the deathly ill man had never consummated his marriage with her. He was only an orus. Omar Rava, and in light of that, Rava said, "Imamru b'nesua, yomru b'arusa." If it's stated with regard to a man who consummates his marriage that he gains the rights to her properties, that's true with regard to nisuin. But would we say the same thing, yomru b'arusa? Would you say the same thing in the case of an arusa? He could transfer the ownership of the property to her, and it becomes hers, lock, stock, and barrel. He doesn't have any connection to it once he transfers it to her. The rights that a husband has is only after nisuin. They hadn't even reached that point. Hoda Omar Rava. Then Rava said, "Lo shno arusa, v'lo shno nisua." You know, it doesn't even matter if they're actually nisuin. Gita v'chatzera boyin ke'echad. the acquisition of the get and the property on her behalf, and as her acquisition of the property happens simultaneously with her receiving of the get. The Gemara asks, "V'ha Amra Rava?" Rava himself said that earlier, that Gita v'chatzer bo'en ke'echad. So why was Rava embarrassed in the first place when Rav Ilish raised the question? Rav Ilish, just a few lines, had raised the question on Rava: how can your eitz of having her acquire the property upon which the get is sitting work when we say that mashikon si shukana baila? When Rava heard that, he was embarrassed. Why should he have hesitated? He said already that Gita v'chatzer bo'en ke'echad. The Gemara answers, Me'ikora ki omra Rava ahai maisa omra. Rava, when he said that rule, he said it as a result of this incident. So in this incident, initially he was embarrassed, and then he revealed that it works based on the principle of Gita v'chatzera bo'en ke'echad. V'hi besoch besa, o besoch chatzera. Mishnah mentioned that man threw a get to his wife and she's in her house or in her courtyard. She is divorced. Before we go further in the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a Nosei, a topic heading, which reads, Shtei Deois Lefarish HaMishnah, two approaches to explain the Mishnah that says, V'yomedes besoch besa besoch chatzera. So we continue in the Gemara. Omar Ula, V'hu she'imedes betzad besa o betzad chatzera. The effectiveness of the husband's throwing the get into her house or into courtyard is provided she is physically standing next to the house or next to the courtyard. Rav Hoshaya amar filu hi b'teveria v'chatzera b'tzipor, hi b'tzipor v'chatzera b'teveria. Migureshes. Rav Hoshaya says she doesn't have to be physically next to it. She could be in this town of Teveria, and the chotzer into which the husband is throwing the get is in the town of Tzipori, or she's located Tzipori, and the chotzer that she owns is in Teveria. Either way, she is divorced. How can you say that though? How can Rav Hoshaya say that she doesn't have to be next to it? For he besoch beiso besoch chatzera katoni. The Mishnah says she's in the house. She's in the chotzer. She's right there. So Rav Hoshaya will answer, Hachi komar, v'hi kimi shebesoch beiso v'hi kimi shebesoch chatzera. The kevon the chotzer mishtameres ladaito he misgareshes. The Mishnah never intended to say that she has to be physically there. All the Mishnah is saying is that the chotzer or the house that we're describing has to be as if she is there. What do we mean by that? As if she is there? Well, if she's there, so it's the house or the chotzer are under her supervision. Rav Hoshaya tells us that even if she's not there, but the chotzer or the house are guarded places, are places that are not wide open, it's also effective. We look at Rashi on the lower part of the narrow lines, kimi shebesoch beiso, kilu hi besoch beiso mahi. What does it mean that the woman can be in one town and the property that she owns is in another town, and we're saying it's as if she's there? Deboinu detevei chatzera mishtameres ladaita. It has to be a chotzer that's guarded with her awareness. Klomar, al pia, val tzivuya. It's all what happens there is because of her instructions, her ruling. Lafuke, this is coming to exclude chodim repukin lekamon nosan get biad avdo neor eino get. There are other things a woman can own. For example, a woman can own a slave. Imagine the husband hands her divorce to her slave, who's neor. Neor means he's awake. So the slave is holding on to the get. The havyolo chotzer hamishdamer shalom ledaita. The eved might be described as her property, as like her courtyard, but the watching of the get is not happening because of her commands or her awareness. Shumishamer atzmo midaito. He's a human being. He has his own mindset. What he's holding on to is something that he's watching because of his own volition. It's not so that when we speak about a piece of property that is hers, that's guarded, it's not, we'll say it's not wide open, what we're trying to say, it's a piece of property that she has control over. She can instruct, she can issue commands, and based on what she says, things will be done. As opposed to handing her get to a slave that she owns. That would not be effective. We continue in the Gemara with a new marking. You see the double underline on the side under the Mivneh heading. We've indicated these are Shlavim Kedei Lahazbir Machlokes Ulav Rebushaya, stages in trying to explain the disagreement between Ul and Rebushaya. Ech Keine Chotzer Es Haget Avur Isha. What is the legal mechanism that enables a courtyard to acquire on behalf of the woman? One is that the courtyard is viewed mishum yad. It's a, and it, we'll say it's an extension of the legal concept, the legal principle of her hand. Number two, mishum shlichus. The chotzer works as a form of agency. The Torah makes reference to shlichus as a, as a legal entity. We've learned in this Masechta, there's a woman can appoint a shliach lekabola, an agent to receive on her behalf. So if you say the chotzer works mitam shlichus, so we're saying the chotzer is working like an agent, receiving it on her behalf. We turn to the Gemara. Lema b'hoko miflegi. Shall we say that the machlokes ula, who insisted on her being literally next to the chotzer, and Rav Hoshaya, who said that's not necessary, they're arguing in the following. Demor sovar, chotzer mishum yodis raboy ula, say the chotzer is included under the heading of hand. Just like the hand is next to her, attached to her body, so too she has to be standing next to the chotzer. Umor sovar chotzer mishum shlichus is raboy, and Rav Hoshaya would say that chotzer works as an extension of the concept of agency. Lo, no, that's not the analysis. Dukuliyamo chotzer mishum yodis raboy. We will tell you that everyone holds, including Rav Hoshaya, that the chotzer is an extension of the concept of yad, of her hand. Mar sovar kiyoda ula says, well, we're going to say the chotzer has to be like her hand. Ma yoda besmucha, just like her hand is next to her. Av chatzera besmucha, so too the chotzer has to be next to her. The idach, the other opinion, namely Rav Hoshaya, we've used the brackets here. If you skip the brackets for a minute, you'll see what his analysis is. He says ki yoda ma yoda mishtameres ledaita, av chatzera mishtameres ledaita. That's the ultimate explanation of Rav Hoshaya. But before we do that, Rav Hoshaya takes issue with Ula's analysis. V'idach, Rav Hoshaya reacts to what Ula said. Oh, you're saying that she has to be standing there, just like she has to be next to it, just like the hand is next to her. V'idach, Rav Hoshaya asks, "I ma yoda bedvuka, af chatzera bedvuka?" If you're you're using this analogy to hand, that she has to be next to the chotzer, well, but the hand is attached to her, so you're going to say she has to be attached to her chotzer. Obviously that doesn't make any sense. It's certainly an unreasonable expectation. Ela ki yada, rather the analogy to yad is as follows. It's not so much a physical analogy as Ula suggested, but rather it's a conceptual analogy. Ma yoda mishtameres ledaita, just like her hand is under her control, it's guarded by her with her knowledge, but it means it's under her control. Af chatzera, so to the type of chotzer that will acquire on her behalf, like her hand, has to be hamishtameres ledaita. Lafuke, to the exclusion of a chotzer mishtamer shelo ledaita. That type of property, literally yard, that's guarded but not through her control. And we read Rashi before, the illustration being her slave. Giving the get, the husband giving her divorce document to a slave she owns would not be effective. But placing it in an enclosed courtyard belonging to her would be effective. As we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice that we have a long point. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, the Nosei, Adam Shezara Get Lishto, Bizman Shiomda Bechatzei Roi. A man threw a get in anticipation of divorcing her to his wife while she was standing in his courtyard, Vaget Nofal Al Chatichas Eitz She'oyo Munach Sham, and the get landed on a piece of wood that was in the Chotzer, the Gemara. Hahu Gavra Dezorat Logita Lidvisu. A man threw a get to his wife in anticipation of divorcing her. Have a Kaima Bechotzer. She was standing in a courtyard. Ozal Gita Nofal Bepisla. And the get landed on a piece of wood. Omer of Yosef. Chazina of Yosef said, well, we have to analyze. I have your Arba Amois Al Arba Amois. If the piece of wood is of significant dimensions, it's 4x4 Amos. Polag le rishusa lenafshe, that creates it as a separate domain, so it hasn't reached the woman. It landed on this significant piece of wood. Vilo, and if it's not, if it's smaller than that, then chada rishusa hi, then it's part of the chotzer in which she's standing, and she, it would be an effective divorce. So Rav Yosef says we have to analyze the size of the piece of wood. We have to measure it. If, as he said, it's a very significant piece of wood, 4x4 amos, so then the get hasn't reached her. If it's insignificant, then it's part of the domain in which she is standing. There's still details that are absent. But my askinan, what are we talking about here? He lemo bechotzer dida. If it's her chotzer, and the get landed on the piece of wood, ki havi dalet amos my havi. Even if the piece of wood is large, so what? It's still okay. It landed in her courtyard, in which there's this significant piece of wood. So what? But it's in her courtyard. Ella bechotzer dida. So it must be that the chotzer spoken of here is his courtyard. So he husband threw the get to his wife that was standing in his courtyard. Well, ki lo have arba amos mayave. If the wood is less than 4 amos, then why would that be effective? Why would Rav Yosef say that if that's the case, then it's an effective divorce? It didn't leave his domain. He threw the get into his courtyard. So what? It landed on the piece of wood. A small piece of wood. Lo tzricha. The case described is necessary to Ishla Mokom. The woman is standing in his courtyard, but he also was mash'il. He loaned her a spot in his courtyard. He loaned her the courtyard, we'll say. And the piece of wood, in order for the get to be effective, if it landed on that piece of wood, so it would have to be less than 4x4 amos. Dechad mokoy moshli inch. When a person loans a location to someone, he loans one area. Trey mokoymos lo moshli inchi. But two places he doesn't loan to the individual. If the wood would have had the dimensions of 4x4 amos, it becomes like a separate mokom. And therefore, as Rav Yosef said, if the get would land on that, that's not what he had loaned her. He loaned her the chotzer. If the piece of wood is less than 4x4 amos, so it's part of the chotzer. It's part of that one mokom that he loaned her. And as we said, a person loans a person one location. So as far as we're concerned, it becomes her chotzer through a loan. But a person doesn't loan two locations. And as we go on, a new marking appears, and on the side of the Gemara we have a Mivneh structural note. The trapezoid or volcano shape will appear in two directions, ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a back and forth style Gemara. The narrow part facing up indicates divorce. Flipped over, narrow part facing down indicates ineffective divorce. So we continue in the Gemara. The lo amoron elo de lo gavo asora. That which we said she would be divorced if the get landed on the piece of wood provided it was less than 4x4 amos. That is true if the piece of wood is less than 10 tfochim in height. So the get was thrown into this courtyard with a piece of wood less than 4x4 amos, and it landed on the top of the wood, which was less than 10 handbreadths, 10 tfochim from the ground. If the piece of wood is 10 tfochim, even if it's the wood is less than 4x4 amos, it will not be an effective get. So you can have area and height. Both are important measurements to take into consideration. Velo amoron, and we're not saying that it is an effective get, although the less lay, we continue at the top of Ayin Chesem Aleph, Shame Levi, that it doesn't have its own name to it. Rashi at the top says, Shame Levi, Kulu Pisla Mikru, Vihave Lahai Shame Latzmo, Hava Le Choshuv, Velo Botil. If the piece of wood, even if it had was less than 10 tfochim in height and less than 4x4 amos, but it had, it was referred to in a by a unique name, it was had an individual identity, she would not be divorced because of its significance. Even though it's lacking in dimensions, it's still considered a separate domain, and as we said, the husband loaned her one domain, not two. Aval Isle Shem Levi, if it has this unique name or status to it, afagav de lo gavo asor v'afagav de lo havi arba amos, she will not be divorced even if it's lacking the 10 tfochim of height, and even though it's lacking the area of 4x4 amos, it will not be able, the get landing on that will not be considered as if it entered her domain. It's considered a separate domain. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.